Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel, where it is time once again for Second Helping, the show of choice for fans and followers of the number one league in all of collegiate athletics, the Southeastern Conference. Travis Ryer, alongside my great friend and co-host, Mr. Brent Beard. Brent, a longtime college football analyst, most recently for First Coast News down in Duval, Jacksonville, Florida. Brent, also a voter for the Heisman Trophy. How many years now, Brent, as we bring you in? How many years will this make that you've been among the Heisman Trophy voters? Got to be getting close to 15, 20, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yes. Yeah, it's closer to 20. I've enjoyed it. Certainly take it seriously, and I vote for a lot of other things, as I'm sure you do. But it's fun to be involved and to kind of see. And, these awards are great, Trav. Sometimes the best guy doesn't win, though.
No, they don't. I felt like the best guy won this last time around Travis Hunter, the newly drafted Jacksonville Jaguar. But I could see where people would have felt strongly about one or two of the other guys. Genty, certainly, from Boise State would come to mind for me. But you're right. Absolutely. Best football player. Probably should be a linebacker every once in a while. Probably should be a defensive tackle or an edge defender. And as we know, more often than not, it's the best skill player. But Brent, as we move through this offseason, we're going to talk about some week zero and week one kickoff times. I know that caught your eye. It caught mine as well. Start getting a little bit more excited when you see those kickoff times and the television designations and things like that. I know you're still excited because the magazines are vastly on approach, right?
We're basically a week away for magazines. May 23rd has been the average of the last several years. So, and again, with NIL and rosters, you never quite know. And the transfer portal is, by the way, as Chino says hello.
Chino, show mascot. There he is.
But the Athlon Lennies will be out. Phil Steele will be out a little bit later after that. And as we get into things, big things going on, that the ACC just had their meetings in the spring. The SEC is in Destin around Memorial Day. The big House versus Nation decision from the judge is due out certainly within the next week, if not before then. And still a lot of meetings behind the scenes with the college football playoff situation. So, Trav, when you and I first got started with this in the early 90s, there was a real lull, wasn't it, bud, until media days. That's not the case anymore.
Yeah, there was a stretch from mid-April to really the 1st of August, because when we first got into this, your roster wasn't on campus throughout the summer. No. Guys literally, after the spring semester, went home.
They did.
They left because at the time, 25, 30 years ago, they weren't afforded tuition in the summer months. There were covered tuitions and cost of living, let alone NIL. Hey, you had to go home pretty much unless you wanted to stay on campus and pay your own way or pay your living cost. You went home, and then guys would come back for camp in August. So no, we don't have that issue anymore. Some of it, sadly, I'm kind of feeling like I wish we had a lot more of it.
Really,
do now. But you mentioned the House versus the NCAA. Don't want to spend a lot of time on it. I don't think folks they just need the bullet points, right?
They don't do the
different layers and all the different minutiae that goes into it. They're kind of like you and I think they want to watch football. They want to watch basketball. They want to watch college sports. So tell us, thankfully, it sounds like we might be getting closer to some type of resolution with that aspect of everything that's going on.
The judge, Claudia Wilkin, is supposed to decide. Now, this really boils down to one big issue, and that is roster limits.
Interesting.
And what we mean by that is, that they've got like 105 on the roster limits, but what we're used to, Trav, is about 20 more, right? Yeah. Where it's about, around 125.
With walk-ons, yeah.
Yes, as far as walk-ons are concerned. But, and we all grew up with walk-ons being an important part. You got to have a number of players in order to practice and do all kinds of activities throughout the season and in the preseason and postseason. So getting that straight is going to be the big thing. And when it does, basically every team's, every school is going to have about 20.5 million in order to deal with. So, but, and it's and, Travis. And
that dispersion, according to your notes, is going to look like 75% to football. And yes, it makes sense because of the roster size as much as anything else. I guess what, 25 to men's hoops, 50 or a percentage to women's hoops, like five, and then the non-revenue producing sports going to be more along the lines of five for all of those.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. The and look, the thing that we've seen from this, people, I know we're going to be screaming about that somewhat, but here's the reality. There are schools that have made an all-out commitment to football. Mm-hmm. And when you make an all-out commitment to football and they're successful, believe it or not, it helps all the other sports.
Yeah.
And again, they will tell you they bring in the most revenue. They have the most scholarships that are needed. So, yeah, what Travis said is kind of your breakdown of what we're looking at this point. But and it will help these schools to get this money.
Well, and in hand with what you're talking about, it makes total sense from a revenue sharing perspective, if that's where we're headed, and we are, that we have an expanded playoff. Because why would we want to expand the playoff? More revenue.
Yes. Yeah. And we're at 12. We're going to be at 12 this year, but we're going, Trav, I don't think there's any stopgap at 14. It's going to 16 because the SEC and the Big Ten want it to go to 16.
Well, they're getting four each. So that's half.
Yes.
You know, of 16 right there, at least four each, right?
Right. Well, now the ACC and the Big 12 have two. The ACC just had their meetings. They want three. Look, I get what you want.
Yeah.
But the reality is, Trav, are there three playoff-worthy teams in that conference right now is a question a lot of people are going to be asking.
Yeah, and, you know, I want to play a guitar like the late, great Eddie Van Halen, too. I don't know if that's going to happen, but we'll see. We'll see how that plays out for sure. So a lot of administrative talk. And look, my hope is, Brent, that we really do get most of this dealt with before August.
Yes.
And we're not in another situation, another season, where throughout the season we're talking more or as much about this kind of stuff and the transfer portal and the NIL. And we're not really spending as much time on the actual sport, the actual games, as maybe people like you and I would like. But speaking of actual games, Brent Beard, kickoff time's coming out now. Week zero, I see here, Kansas State and Iowa State from Ireland. Boy, that's not exactly headline material, but it is college football. It's a noon Eastern kickoff on Saturday, August the 23rd, 2025. That game will air on ESPN. Also, heading into sort of week one, Thursday night, you're going to have Boise State at South Florida. You're going to have Nebraska and Cincinnati from Kansas City. Pretty interesting matchup there.
Yes.
Friday night, I think this one is really cool. Georgia Tech at Prime, in prime time.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia Tech and Colorado, Friday, August the 29th, 8 p.m. Eastern. I look forward to that one, Brent.
Me too. I agree with you. And Trav, Colorado loses most of their guys. Well, Georgia Tech brings most of their guys back. So that's going to be a real help for them. And I agree that Tech really has played well, certainly. And I think that will continue. I believe Haynes King comes back another year.
Why not?
That's right.
bring back Chris Winkie at this. We thought Chris Winkie was around a while, and he was a former sort of minor league baseball player back in the day before he quarterbacked Florida State to a national championship at about 36 years old. But I'll say this though, for that same game, it makes me wonder too, is that the Juju Lewis era at quarterback for Colorado, the highly coveted 2025 quarterback recruit for Prime and looking to replace Shedeur Sanders. So looking forward to that one as we get more into SEC programming for that weekend of August the 30th. On Saturday, you're going to have Syracuse, Tennessee. That'll be a noon kickoff. Certainly some intrigue there with Tennessee. Both teams really replacing starting quarterbacks, the Orange in the same boat as Big Orange. So that's a noon kickoff on August the 30th on ABC. How about this one? Take your salt tablets, Alabama and Florida State fans. How about 3:30 in the afternoon from Doak Campbell Stadium? Alabama, Florida State, 3:30 on Saturday, August the 30th on ABC, Brent.
There was some talk about Lee Corso going out with this game because of his affiliation with Florida State, but that will be for Texas and Ohio State. And I'll talk about this a little bit more, but we had a chance to be a part of the media that interviewed Mike Norvell yesterday, the FSU coach. He was in town in Jacksonville. And to say they're excited about that game with the refurbished stadium, by the way. A lot of excitement about that. And, Trev, this is a big game for both these teams.
It is.
And we'll certainly get into more of that as it goes along. But you're right. That's a huge ABC game. And Trav, you normally that would have been prime time, right? But that LSU at Clemson game is kind of taking that away.
Well, that's the difference between like Nick Saban and Jimbo being on the sidelines, and not. But I will say this, and I know it kind of looks JV-ish for Alabama to be playing in an afternoon game on that opening Saturday. They played in some of those with Nick Saban. They played Duke in Atlanta in the afternoon. They played Miami in the afternoon in Atlanta. So they did have some of those sort of mid-afternoon kickoffs in the Nick Saban era in week one. But I agree, for both coaches, a big, big matchup in Tallahassee from a weather perspective, as we talked about. Put on your camelbacks or whatever you can to stay hydrated. And also what I think about with these afternoon outdoor kickoffs in the South is delays potentially, because we've been around those type of situations, Brent, in the past. Alabama at South Florida a couple of years ago, that was a stormy situation. Even Alabama, Florida in 2021, which we attended together down at the Swamp. I'm not sure it was delayed, but it was a rainy, stormy situation. So a couple of weather scenarios already in play, I would say, for Alabama, Florida State. And you said it, LSU, Clemson, the battle of the Death Valley, primetime on ABC that Saturday night. Tigers and Tigers from Clemson, South Carolina at 7:30. Really pressure on Brian Kelly. And then expectations, once again, it sounds like, more for Clemson. Not to the extent maybe that Dabo had it before, but bordering on it at least.
Oh, yeah. Well, and look, when you get Tom Allen away from Penn State as your D coordinator, that is huge. Cade Klubnik comes back. You've got another year of T.J. Parker and Peter Woods. I've already seen some of the preseason polls travel with Clemson number one. I'm not sure I would go with that yet, but I'm not. I don't
have a defensive line. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
If I'm Tom Allen, I go to Clemson just for some of the guys I'm going to inherit.
Absolutely.
On that defense, but. Yeah, you're right. I mean, you are hearing that sort of drumbeat, and it seems like it's picking up for Dabo and Clemson as we get more into the summer months. Sunday, August the 31st, more SEC action, Brent, as South Carolina takes on Virginia Tech from Atlanta. That game will kick off at 3 o'clock Eastern on ABC. That's a nice spot for Shane Beamer.
Sure is.
Gamecocks. That type of visibility, and of course, the Norris Sellers hype train ought to be at full go by the time that one rolls around.
Yeah. And listen, there's some big games for the ACC on this weekend trail.
You're right.
Yes. LSU, Clemson, and Notre Dame, Miami, and South Carolina, Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech really has almost been a non-factor, mm-hmm. and you don't want to be ignored, but be a lot of hype for the Norris Sellers in South Carolina. And obviously Notre Dame in Miami with Carson Beck ready to go.
That'll be wild, yeah.
It really will. And that Notre Dame defense comes back, and they're going to be very good. Trev, I love this Sunday of Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
There should be a full slate on that Sunday, frankly, and we may be edging toward that because you've got the next day off being Labor Day. Mm-hmm. So
NFL that early on Sunday.
That's exactly right. So yeah. I think we're seeing that growing, aren't we?
I think we are. And Carson Beck will actually see Notre Dame this time around.
He will.
We'll see him in the college football playoff, right? Notre Dame and Georgia.
Yes.
That was not a Carson Beck situation in New Orleans. And then Monday, September the 1st.
Oh, yeah.
I guess the question at this point is, will Bill Belichick actually coach North Carolina against TCU on Labor Day night at 8 p.m. on ESPN? That's what I'm wondering more than anything with the girlfriend situation. To be a North Carolina fan right now.
That'd be tough. Yeah. It really would, as they try to rebuild a program. Now, what Travis is talking about is, and correct me if I'm wrong on the name here, Trav, but ESPN, one of their guys, I believe it's Pablo Torres, has said and doubled down on it, that he thinks that Belichick will not even coach game one.
Wow.
Now, part of that, help me on this, is – Trev, Belichick's buyout by the middle of the summer goes to about $1 million, which in terms of buyouts, Trev, that's pocket change for some schools, isn't it?
It is, and I think it was done that way with the hope and or belief that he could end up back in the NFL.
Yeah.
Right. And
remember
the narrative 3 or 4 or 5 months ago? He wouldn't make the first game because he would end up taking an NFL job.
Yeah.
Now the narrative is North Carolina may not want him
to
coach the opener with the situation as it currently stands. So, that's a lot to unpack, and I'm sure it'll be unpacked more and more.
Yeah, don't you know?
Coming days and weeks. And Brent, so we talk about some kickoff times, obviously some network designations as well. As you would expect, a big one with Texas and Ohio State. Mm-hmm. That will be a Fox situation, that game being played in Columbus, Ohio. And we'll get more of those, right, as we get closer.
Yeah.
We get SEC media days, SEC spring meetings, excuse me. It seems like we get more of those, too.
Week 0 through 3, the first 3 weeks will be announced on Thursday, May the 29th, the bowl schedule. Reveal on June the 5th. Now, you know, college football really needs to take a little bit from the NFL with this. Trav, during the offseason, they don't have ready-made television situations, but they could do that with some of this TV scheduling. I know the SEC Network does it, but, man, live, they do it, what, Trav, in the fall? You know, if you reveal some of this stuff a little later, I think it would be helpful. But Travis is right. The closer we get, the more we will learn.
It seems like, you know, with college football, there's just so many different platforms.
Yeah.
So many different networks involved. Whereas with the NFL, it's becoming more that way with streaming.
It is, isn't it?
Amazon.
Yeah.
And, you know, these different situations that the NFL is milking for billions of dollars But you're right. NFL, they pretty well get it right. I like their schedule reveal yesterday as well. Hey, Brent, let's revisit some of these win totals. We talked about these in the last month or so, but just wanted to get your thoughts on how things seemingly sit out in Vegas as far as over-under for wins for SEC teams in 2025. And I found it interesting that right now, according to Circa Sports anyway, you've got three teams basically in a logjam there at 9.5 wins. Alabama at 9.5, Georgia at 9.5, Texas at 9.5. And that's interesting in part because we're talking about new starting quarterbacks at each of those places. Now, you think about Ole Miss, new starting quarterback, Tennessee, new starting quarterback, Auburn, new starting quarterback. Of these six or seven or eight teams at the top of the list, eight wins or more, you're really looking at just about every one of these with new starting quarterback situations, except Texas A&M and LSU. So your thoughts on seeing those teams kind of bunched in there together?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Alabama's getting a lot of love. I think people are really looking at that roster and realizing how many people come back, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. Boy, two things really stick out, Trav, or actually maybe three, is, okay, LSU 8.5, Tennessee 8.5, and Texas A&M 8. Trav, now look, we know they do this just to get us to bet on it and talk about it, but the reality is, now those fan bases at LSU, Tennessee, and A&M, Trav, they don't want 8-4, do they?
Tennessee right now, I'd be tempted to go under 8.5.
Yeah, agreed.
Not that I thought Nico was Peyton, okay? But still, there's going to be a pretty considerable drop-off. And in that offense, as much as you invest in that position or that person, like Josh Heupel did with Nico, there's a trick to running that offense because it is tempo, you know, and I'm not saying it's an expansive playbook at all, but the way Tennessee plays offense, you'd like to have more experience there. And that's not the only losses. I mean, they lose a good bit off that defensive side of the ball, especially up front, lose Dylan Sampson in the backfield, got to replace some weapons in the skill positions. So of these teams, Alabama, Georgia, Texas, LSU, Ole Miss, right now, probably the way I would go with any of these teams would be Tennessee under the 8.5. And really, even when you start with that opener against Syracuse, I think that's a game that, you know, Tennessee's going to have to pull out all the stops to beat the Cuse.
Well, and Trav, on your train of thought, I agree with that. And I agree with that when you look at Auburn. I mean that Auburn team at 8. I mean, they're two games away from you know, maybe 9 or 10 wins, or they're also two losses away from 6-6 and Hugh Freeze being out.
Which of these teams is coached by someone who has the most heat on them to surpass these type of numbers? It's got to be Brian Kelly at 8.5.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
With Garrett Nussmeier back, even with the departures up front on that offensive line, another year in that new defensive system with a guy you invested a lot to bring in there. I think it's got to be Kelly. Although you could make a case, Kalen DeBoer's right there. Although 9.5 still a strong number. And sure, to go over 9.5, you're probably a college football playoff team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you certainly will be when we go to 16 along that line, too. But obviously, Sam Pittman needs more than 5.5, to say the least. I think if Diego Pavia comes back, and we're pretty sure he will, they've still got some legal challenges there. This 5.5 for Vanderbilt could easily be 6.5 or 7, which certainly would be, I believe, important too. And you know, I think Florida will cover that
7.5.
That 7.5. But Trev, you and I both know that Blagway is not able to play for an extended period during the season, and they're 6-6. We both know how much heat, and not just the weather, will come up at Florida.
Brent Venables, Oklahoma at 7.
Yeah,
that's not what OU people want to see either.
No,
I think Venables gets it. Hence the moves that have been made at not only quarterback but running back as well by the Sooners in this offseason. South Carolina at 7.5 is kind of interesting to me. I can see it, though. If you think Florida is 7.5, I could see you thinking South Carolina is 7.5. I think they're pretty similar teams. Of those two, I would go more with Florida to go over. The 7.5, the concern with Florida is schedule difficulty again.
Sure.
It doesn't really get any easier after last season's murderer's row for the Gators. But I think Florida is better, much better equipped for it this time around, as we said, especially if Lagway is progressing with that shoulder in the way that you hope he is. I think some telling numbers too, Kentucky down there at 4.5. You know, that seems to be, makes you wonder about where this is trending now with Mark Stoops after all the years of really overachieving and the 9-year streak of qualifying for bowl play. But now you bring in Oklahoma and Texas, and as you're seeing for teams down here like Arkansas, Vanderbilt, Kentucky, Mississippi State at the bottom of these win totals, these are win totals that probably 2 years ago would be a full win higher. Arkansas would probably be 6.5. I don't know if Vanderbilt would be 6.5, but with Pavia, maybe. Kentucky would be at least 5.5, I got to think. And there's Mississippi State rounding out the win totals at 3.5. And look, if you're Lebby, if you're Jeff Lebby at this point, you're just trying to win an SEC game.
Really?
And then find a couple of three more. So even down there at 3.5, I don't know if I'd touch Mississippi State in 2025.
No. But they've got a lot of things to figure out. And unfortunately, State's going to have a year to where they're going to end up being the homecoming foe for a lot of these teams.
Yeah.
And real quick, listen, what you said about LSU and Brian Kelly is right on. Trev, they've lost, people may forget this, but they have lost like 5 openers in a row.
Yeah.
Coupled to
Clemson. That's to say they've played some teams and some openers.
They have.
They played. You know, SC last year didn't turn out to be much, so that was a disappointing situation.
Right.
Florida State. The Florida State teams they played were pretty damn good when they played.
They were.
You know. So, of the three teams, Brent, Alabama, Georgia, Texas, at 9.5, which of those three would you think is most likely to go over the 9.5?
Well, you can make a case for all three of those, but the reality is Texas has got, with Arch coming back
and the schedule,
they've got, I've seen running back list. They've got at least 2 of those Texas running backs in the top 10. Wisner, or Wisner as he did last year. So, and Trev, the other thing is, folks are complaining like they won 3 games, but Georgia's a playoff team with Kirby hoping that they have fixed the problems on the offensive line and wide receiver.
Yeah, I like Texas's schedule, and I do anticipate Arch being that kind of guy. They've got to replace some guys on the outside, but I don't worry about that as much with Sark. Alabama, I've got a lot more confidence in Ty Simpson than maybe some people do.
Yeah, I do too.
I think Alabama, Georgia are going to be similar at quarterback. I think those guys are pretty similar in terms of what they bring to that mix for both those teams. Arch obviously is going to have the most spotlight. There's no question about that. So I might go Texas just based as much on schedule than anything else. But 3 teams there. And look, Georgia gets Alabama and in Athens, but what has that really meant in the past? Yeah. I mean, Alabama, this was under Saban, just made life miserable for the Dogs in the state of Georgia in general, whether it was Athens, whether it was Atlanta. So we'll see if maybe Kirby's able to flip that script now that Nick is on that College Game Day set. So, Brent, let's get into some running back talk. You mentioned Trey Wisner for Texas. I wanted to get your thoughts on some of the top running backs in the league for 2025. And I guess, you know, some of that you can look at tandems. You know, I think when you think about a situation like Florida, you lose Montrell Johnson, really good back, but with Ball coming back, with Jackson coming back, it's going to be a pretty nice 1-2 punch there for Billy Napier.
It really is. And I mean, they ran the ball for over 200 yards in the spring game, and obviously it's a spring game, but Ball can catch the ball out of the backfield too. I think, Travis, the thing that has intrigued me about this Florida running game is their offensive line is already being considered for the best O-line in the league.
Yeah.
So, you know, Slaughter at center has certainly gotten a lot of attention. But I agree with you. And, I mean, like Dallas Wilson, the guys they have got at wide receiver have been impressive. Then this Florida offense, if Lagway's healthy, they could be humming along during this season and be pretty impressive.
That's the balance that you just outlined is why I would, of those teams on 7.5 wins in the totals, like Florida and South Carolina, that's where I would go with Florida.
Yeah,
over South Carolina, because I think with the newcomers they've added at wide receiver and what they bring back there and that offensive line, and boy, Jaden Ball couldn't have been more impressive to me as a true freshman last season. And, you know, I think that when you, and it's kind of, it overshadows Jacoby Jackson's back too.
Yeah, and then it sure is.
I'm interested though with the shoulder situation. How much does that temper design quarterback stuff with DJ Lagway? And it's understandable if it does. And I think the thing that's going to be interesting too is Florida fans have howled for multiple years now about the ineffectiveness of Billy Napier as his own play caller.
Yes.
I think it's pretty clear he's going to have the guys this year. That if he is something more than just an average play caller, play designer, scripter, whatever, this should be the year where that's not a problem for him.
Agree. Absolutely. Listen, Trav, I still, I'm just telling you, this is great. If they don't deal with this, this is going to trip them up, is special teams. That they have been an absolute disaster on special teams over the last few years.
Yeah.
And that is something that I'm not saying it has to be flawless, but it's going to be a lot better than what we've seen recently.
We talk about duos at the position, and a guy like C.J. Baxter coming off the season-ending injury from last preseason. A lot of talk about Trey Wisner, and understandably so. There should be. Coming off just a tremendous campaign. But when you consider the possibility of a fully recovered C.J. Baxter, who was expected to be sort of the guy in Austin last year, that's another one of those duos that you like a lot.
Oh, yeah, it got to. And you know, this Texas offensive line is going to be very good. Also, I mean, I just love the balance that Texas has got. And with those receivers and Arch, I mean, that running game is going to be very good. But again, as Travis mentioned, the big thing with Baxter is, and I mean, he went down with that injury in fall camp and did not see the field. This can be interesting to see. One thing I've learned from you over the years, when you have an injury like he did, there are several months that you've got to get past the physical and get over the mental aspect of that as much as anything else.
Absolutely. And, you know, you've got some young backs still in this league looking to make big impressions. Nate Frazier of Georgia is certainly one of those guys. Trevor Etienne moves on to the NFL. He's a mid-round pick, Etienne was, but the sense was that this was going to be more about Nate Frazier, with or without Trevor Etienne in 2025. And, you know, I've said in the past, I see some Josh Jacobs in Nate Frazier, especially his style, the way he runs, the fight that he has in his style. You know, I'll go even with a former dog. I'm going to go back about well, almost 20 years now. I'll go No. Sean Marino.
Yeah,
I see a little bit of Nate Frazier. So I guess the bigger question for Georgia is going to be at running back depth and kind of maybe where that's going to come from.
Oh, yeah. Does it surprise you like it does me? Georgia's not had a 1,000-yard back in the 2020s.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, they've had a committee approach.
Yeah, they have. Right? In fairness, they have.
Two or three guys. But you're right. I mean, it hasn't been Todd Gurley, right?
Yeah.
It hasn't been that type of guy at the position, more of a workhorse.
Which is quite unusual for them, and it's going to be very important. But it's obvious Kirby really likes Frazier. And like his mentor, Nick Saban, even when Frazier, you called attention to this last year, even when Frazier scores, there are times Kirby meets him about the 25-yard line coming out of the end zone to make sure he realizes the mistakes he made when he scored.
Yeah. He, some tough love for Nate Frazier as a true freshman. You got some transfers too. We've seen sort of group of five transfers come in and make big time contributions in this league, especially at the running back position. I guess Rasul Faison, South Carolina, is going to be one of those guys coming in with Rocket Sanders, being a big part of that offense for sure a year ago. Going to be interesting to see what Faison brings to that offense to go along with that quarterback running back dynamic that Lenore Sellers will give you.
Now, one thing about Faison is they've got a waiver situation they've got to clear up with him.
Interesting.
He comes from Utah State, so hopefully they'll be able to get that done, and that's going to be important. I really hated Rocket Sanders at left. I mean, I get the fact that he's got to get on with, possibilities of being in the making it in the NFL and so forth. But Trev, people really did not get a chance at the end of his college career to really see what a full on healthy Sanders could do.
Yeah, another newcomer, a couple more newcomers to the league, but Jaden Ott, of Oklahoma, coming in from Cal, had some injuries last year, but when you go back, a couple of seasons ago, or this is a guy that showed you to go along with Mateer coming in at quarterback. Mm-hmm. When I say I get the sense that Brent Venables has a sense of urgency, he's not oblivious to the situation he might be in going into this season. I think this recent addition of Ott anyway sort of speaks to that, Brent.
Oh, well, yeah, no doubt about that. And listen, if they get anything at the wide receiver position, they've got the receivers, the problem of Oklahoma, they can't keep them healthy.
No.
I remember before that Auburn game, I mean, I don't think you and I had ever seen this before, was every starting wide receiver at Oklahoma was hurt.
Yep.
That was just amazing.
Basically ran a single wing offense.
Yeah, they really did.
In November, and it was fine. They beat Alabama with it.
Yeah, I mean, you're right.
They beat Alabama with basically no wide receivers.
Yes.
You know, and you're an Alabama team trying to make it into the college football playoff.
Yes.
That one, sorry, Alabama fans, I didn't mean to cause some PTSD situations there for you, but oof. That one, speaking of Alabama with running backs, we're not hearing a lot about Alabama running backs going into this season, which is kind of odd given the stretch that Alabama has had really over decades of quality players at that position. Doesn't mean Alabama doesn't have good players. I think Jam Miller is a very good player. I think what's interesting with Alabama is that they do have quality options. And so how will that next back to go along with Jam Miller work? And Ryan Grubb coming in as the offensive coordinator for Kalen DeBoer, how much of an impact will the position have moving forward in a Kalen DeBoer offense, say what we saw with Nick Saban?
I think the thing that's going to help these running backs is his offensive line is going to be better.
Should be.
And I think they're going to be healthier too, which will make a big difference. And obviously Justice Haynes is not around. That was a real disappointment, I know, for Alabama fans. But they've got, Trev, the thing with this is these banks coming back, and you've covered them, they are tough and they're mean, and they can get additional yardage. I think that's what's going to be fascinating to see with this Alabama running back depth.
Yeah, I love Jam Miller. I love his approach. It's nothing really fancy, but physical, sudden guy that in pass protection can get the job done. That may have as much to do with how that rotation ends up shaking out as anything is off the ball, not so much what you do with it, because I think they've got some guys that are pretty comparable in that regard. And also just usage. You know, I mean, it's an offense that we've seen in the past, especially at Washington, have 1,000-yard rushers, but they'll lean heavily on one guy. Last year, they tried to divvy it up. Justice Haynes, to me, last year felt like he was headed to the portal all along.
I just thought
his play was uninspiring a year ago.
It was like
it almost felt like he was just getting to the end of the season and then he was gone. Mm-hmm. Whereas I don't get that sense with Jam Miller. So good to have a veteran, again, a decisive and physical option right there at the top. And that, you know, that Alabama offense is set up for a lot of success. And I think something that's going to be overlooked a little bit too is that Ty Simpson is not Jalen Milroe.
No, he is not.
But it's not like with him, the quarterback run potential goes out the window. This is a guy who can certainly do enough. Mm-hmm. I think if you lean on him to kind of make decisions in the run game where RPO, you know, zone read, true zone read, not predetermined, I think he can do that at a high level. And so I think Ty Simpson is going to help open up some things and continue to open up some things in the run game. Again, not Jalen Milroe, but going to bring some strengths that maybe Jalen didn't bring as much to that mix. Brent, anything else before we get out of here? Live on a Thursday morning.
Love it. Speaking of running backs, a guy that's not mentioned much, but could be really a factor, particularly for LSU, is Caden Durham.
Yeah.
Would be a sophomore this year.
Yep.
The thing that impressed me about him is, I mean, he did have five games with at least 99 yards, but the thing that's really impressive is 140 carries, zero fumbles.
That's huge. And that's big. As much as I love Dylan Sampson with Tennessee, mm-hmm. that was a problem.
He was.
At times. Absolutely. All security. I think Jam Miller of Alabama is a similar kind of guy that you don't talk about it enough, but he's a guy that'll take care of the football. And so, Durham he's got to be a top three, top five back going into the 2025 season. And then you pair him with Garrett Nussmeier, and you know, we'll see how that offense responds to some heavy departures in some other areas as well. Brent, as always, a lot of fun here on Ryer on YouTube with you. If you out there have not subscribed to Ryer on YouTube, we hope you'll hit that subscribe button right now and also hit that notifications bell. That way you're alerted to all of our content as it drops right here on the channel. And if you would hit us with a thumbs up for Brent and myself, that would help us tremendously as well. Brent, look forward to doing it again real soon.
Me too, bud. Have a great week. We'll talk soon.
For Brent Beard, Travis Ryer, thanking you once again. And until next time, so long, everybody.